I send warm greetings to each and every one of you comfortably sitting at home. How wonderful it is that we are able to worship like that. And even though you are you miss the worshiping in our sanctuary, this is so wonderful that we can join our hearts and spirit together and worship our Lord as we have done it for all our lives. Alice Collins shares this story. My friend Debbie's two daughters were in high school when she experienced severe flu-like symptoms. Debbie visited her family doctor, who told her the flu bug had passed her by. Instead, she had been touched by the love bug and now was pregnant. The birth of Tommy, a healthy, beautiful son, was an event for celebration. And as time went by, it seemed as though every day brought another reason to celebrate. The gift of Tommy's life. He was sweet, thoughtful, fun-loving, and a joy to be around. One day when Tommy was about 5 years old, he and Debbie were driving to the neighborhood mall. As is the way with children, out of nowhere, Tommy asked, "Mom, how old were you when I was born?" 36, Tommy. Why? Debbie asked, wondering what his little mind was contemplating. "What a shame," Tommy responded. "What do you mean?" Debbie inquired, more than a little puzzled. Looking at her with love-filled eyes, Tommy said, "Just think of all those years we did not know each other." Children may not have an exact concept of various stages of life and other complicated matters, but surely have purity to see things that grown-ups would easily miss out. Mary, the mother of Jesus, had many moments similar to Debbie's in which she learned from the boy Jesus. Jesus, even as a boy, had a superior knowledge to Mary's and constantly inspired his mother. When Jesus was 12 years old, Mary and Joseph went to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. After the celebration, Mary and Joseph left for Nazareth, but Jesus stayed in the temple. Not knowing where Jesus was, they began to look for him. Their searches ended back in Jerusalem. Mary told Jesus, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" Jesus asked. "Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house?" Mary treasures all those things like that instance in her heart. Mary closely observed Jesus and was always mindful of who he was from birth. Mary is often understood as just a carrier of the divine, but the gospel revealed a very thoughtful kind of mother Mary was. Like many mothers, Mary could not help but became a very attentive mother, and that's what we find in the wedding in Cana. In that wedding, she showed not only how profoundly she understood Jesus, but also she was a major cause behind the first miracle that Jesus performed. At the wedding reception, Mary brought to the attention of Jesus that the host ran out of wine. As we see in the response from Jesus, Jesus did not want to disclose his hidden identity to the public yet. "Dear woman, why do you involve me? My time has not come yet," Jesus said to Mary. However, knowing who Jesus was, Mary went ahead and advised the servant to follow the direction from Jesus. Mary's appearance here at the wedding was very significant. I will explain why it is so. John's gospel is distinct from other gospels. It begins with the incarnation. God came down in human flesh. It does not mention Christmas events, which are closely associated with Mary, such as an angel's annunciation, how Mary responds to the news, and the birth of the Messiah. After the incarnation, John's gospel jumps right into Jesus' public ministry. Mary's first appearance coincides with Jesus' first miracle at the wedding in Cana, which marks the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. The following event of the wedding at Cana was Jesus clearing the temple, and the gospel indicated that Jesus accompanied Mary to Capernaum, which was the major town, a shore town in the Sea of Galilee, for Jesus' public ministry. Strangely, Mary disappeared after these first two occasions at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Now, interesting to note here, according to John's gospel, Mary broke her silence and reappeared at Jesus' final moment. As prominent as Mary was, it would have been very difficult for her to hide behind the curtain. But she managed it after she prompted Jesus to launch his ministry with a miracle to bless those who were in need. Other gospels indicate that Mary did not leave Jesus completely during the public ministry. She was there all along, watching Jesus in a distance. But John's gospel shows one last place of Mary's appearance was in Calvary. Mary was standing next to the cross, feeling the pain of death of her son. When Jesus was nailed, her heart bled. When Jesus was pierced, her heart was pierced as well. On the cross, Jesus called Mary one last time. "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, supposedly John, he said, "Here is your mother." What message does Mary's presence in those two critical places speak? At the beginning and at the closing of Jesus' public ministry, it speaks of Mary's clear understanding of who Jesus was and why he came to the earth. It also speaks of Mary's intention to make sure that Jesus fulfilled God-given purpose as the Messiah. The baby in Mary's womb came from God, and he was to be the Messiah. Mary fostered Jesus until he reached the age and now wanted him to fulfill the mission of God. Mary like our mothers, was so much into her child's potential. At the wedding in Cana, there seemed to be a subtle collision between Mary and the divine. Mary was the mother, but he was God. Who would and could challenge the divine? Nobody but mothers like Mary, who had confidence in her child, can. The way Mary spoke to Jesus and the servants may have appeared to be a hindrance to the public ministry of Jesus, but she was not. She was, in a way, assuring Jesus of his identity and became a stepping stone to accelerate the public ministry of Jesus. Mothers are keen to see potential of their children better than anyone else, as we can find in Mary. They are so interested in what their children could achieve in life. They say that typical mother's brain is divided into four sections. The worry center is the first section. They worry about their children all the time. The second section knows where the stuff is. The third section is for bragging about her kids. The fourth knows when kids are up to no good, which is the smallest among the four. Mary was the godless mother who was willing to sacrifice herself. According to the Mosaic laws and rules, the traditional Jewish cultures and customs, Mary deserved the capital punishment to become pregnant outside the marriage. It was explicable why Mary was so shocked when an angel announced about the pregnancy by the Holy Spirit. Mary's initial reaction accurately mirrored the religious and cultural context. In spite of impending deathly consequences, she obeyed God's plan in her life and was willing to sacrifice her integrity and reputation for the Messiah's arrival. Mary endured much from the childbearing through Jesus growing up. Mary did not stop there. She was there with Jesus at the beginning and at the end of his public ministry. Our mothers resemble to this dedicated and sacrificial Mary in many ways. They gave their best to support their children and do not mind sacrifices. They regard sacrifices for their children as joy. Mary was surely the best example as a mother. Her role in her life of Jesus reminds of the blessings we all have received from our mothers. Each of us is blessed with the best mother we could ever have. I still remember my mother's life of prayer. I can humbly confess that I am so much indebted to my mother's prayer. Speaking of praying mothers, Monica was a wonderful example. She was a very devout Christian woman. She raised her son according to her faith, but her son did not abide by it. When he was a teenager, he decided to renounce his faith and got himself into a disorderly life, which made Monica a prayer warrior. When her son ran from God over a decade, Monica never stopped praying for her son. One day, her son happened to listen to Ambrose, Bishop of Milan, who convicted him of life of sin. His life was transformed completely. Monica's life's long prayer was finally answered as her prodigal son came back to Christ. She told her son that she now had nothing left to live for. 9 days later, she was dead. Her son's name was Saint Augustine of Hippo from North Africa, as we know. Augustine became such an influential Christian leader and changed the course of history, all because of his mother's prayer. Mary's role in Jesus' life also shed light on what our purpose is and what our calling is. Being with Jesus at the most critical moments of Jesus' public ministry, she made sure that Jesus carried out God's mission. God sent us to this world with specific purposes and sees us through until our mission is fulfilled. Whatever the call we have received, God is there in our beginning and will be there until our mission on earth is accomplished. We are experiencing the worldwide health crisis. It may be a good time for us to reflect upon our purpose and mission. People live in fear of death, but the believers in Christ should not fear their end. When our mission is fulfilled on earth, God is going to take us home. If we still have mission to fulfill, we will still be here a little longer. And God is going to sustain us and help us to fulfill God's mission. I do not know whether this is a good news or bad news, but I still see a lot of works to be done in this church. Do you know what it means? It means your mission is not completed yet, and you need to stay strong and healthy to fulfill God's mission. As Mary was, as our mothers were, God is proud of what we have accomplished. God walks with us, cheers us up, and encourages us. He is here with us, and He will be there until our work on earth is done. Thanks be to God for our mothers. Amen.